Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Cincinnati Bengals here as we make our way through the AFC, through the AFC North specifically. And went to the Super Bowl. There's always the Super Bowl hangover, which I find interesting. Not a ton of discussion about that. Everyone's enthusiastic about Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and rightfully so. They're an exciting team. I do think of note, Burrow dealing with appendicitis, had his appendix out, had the surgery. It shouldn't be too terribly long in terms of recovery. I'm glad my mom almost died from it, so I'm glad that he got his all set there. Can be super, super scary and go bad quickly. So good to see that he got that all cleared up. There's not a ton of mystery to this team. Like, honestly, it's like you go through these teams and there's like all these moving pieces. I don't think there's a ton of mystery here. They didn't adjust the offense in the draft outside of the fourth round selection of North Dakota State offensive tackle Cordell Velston. They signed Alex Kappa. They signed Ted Karras. They signed Lyle Collins. They let Quentin Spain go. They let Trey Hopkins go. They let Riley Reiff walk. That is 91, 85, and 65% snap shares, respectively, at left guard, center, and left tackle. Again, they bring in Karras. They bring in Lyle Collins. Clear upgrades across the board there in terms of the position, I think, at this point. They also lose the tight end CJ Uzomah. They bring in Hayden Hurst. So we'll see what the Hayden Hurst situation looks like. They didn't use the tight end a ton, but if this is a situation, I actually think it's interesting. If you suspect that maybe this offense changes or they go pass happy or something like that, that may be a spot, and that this offensive line really can be a benefit to Burrow, right? Because they can protect him better. They can keep less guys in the block. Having a share of Hayden Hurst there, that's a really good way to leverage that bet. So if that is something that you believe, I think that's a good bet. And again, Hayden Hurst in a similar situation, by the way, in Atlanta a couple years ago, right before the Kyle Pitts scenario, where basically he kind of was in the right. There's three lanes of the tight end position. There's the super efficient tight end. We'll call that the Mark Andrews, right? There's the Logan Thomas, which is route based, and then there's the touchdowns, which is really, you know, we'll call that like the Robert Tonyan. You got to work on the labeling of that, but you know, there's really different labels of the position. Hayden Hurst fits squarely in the latter of the two, right? He would need some touchdown luck, or I think he would need to just run a ton of routes. But I think that scenario, like, that is not a closed scenario yet. So that'd be one I would think about, especially if you think this offense is going to change. If you think this offense is going to change and run a lot more plays and throw the ball a lot more because of the offensive line improvements, Hayden Hurst is a really good place to invest. All right, 21st last year in plays at 60.3, 20th in terms of dropbacks per game at 37.1, 18th in designed rush attempts at 23.2, 21st in designed passing rate at 58.3. They ran 29.8 seconds per play last year. That was good for 30th. So kind of a slow pace there. They were behind the line of scrimmage. They threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage 28th most in the league. Short passing, so right 0 to 9 yards. They were 4th. The intermediate, they were 28th. That's a place where if you're looking for some like easy buckets to get, that's a really efficient way to throw the ball. So be interested to see some of that. Maybe it's a little bit of an uptick. And the deep ball, they threw it the 7th highest percent in the league. First in terms of yards per attempt, 3rd in terms of touchdown rate. Right, so 6.5% of their passing attempts went for touchdowns. That's a pretty high number. 8.7% sack rate. Again, that's up at the top of the position as well. 12% of their dropbacks were passing game leak. So that's that combination of sack and scramble. That's good for 8th highest leak rate. So a lot there, right? In terms of other stuff going on, a lot of sacks and some Burrow scrambling. takes off when you sort of compare that with, you know, a lower dropback number, and then you sort of think, all right, they're already in the top half of the leakage there in terms of just their plays. It's already coming down volume wise. Like, there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of danger to be living on high efficiency there, because if some of the stuff corrects, you're definitely sort of swimming into some factors that are going against you. 19.5% of their passes were at play action. That was good for 29th. So be interesting to see if they run that a little bit more. I know there's some talk about Burrow doesn't like to have his back to the defense, so we'll see how that goes. 13th in terms of running back routes per drop back. That's above the median there. 16th in terms of targets, 7th in terms of routes per dropback, 5th in terms of targets per dropback, 22nd in terms of routes per dropback, 29th in terms of targets per dropback. So I do think there's a situation where if Hayden Hurst is maybe marginally better than Hayden Hurst or than CJ Uzama, you could get a situation where you get a little bit more from the tight end position. I think potentially pleasantly surprised. 28th in terms of red zone volume. Again, we'll get to that in a second. They had 49.2% of their red zone plays were rushes. That's good for 13th. So on the run heavy, so low volume, run heavy there. 78% of their red zone rushes were from the running back position. So that's 18th, right about the middle there at the position, leaning slightly non-running back centric. 20th in terms of running back expected points per game. 13th in terms of wide receiver expected points per game at 37.1. And 7.7 tight end expected points per game, good for last in the league. So where does that leave us? Lots of questions here. I've talked about Burrow a bit. I've really talked about Burrow quite a bit in some of the stuff. I did a thread on him. I'll just read you some of the stuff that I did. Finished as quarterback 9 in 2021. Finished with the third highest touchdown rate. The only quarterbacks better were Rodgers and Stafford. Burrow led the league in passing touchdowns of longer than 40 yards at 10. The next closest was 6. Burrow also led the league in passing touchdowns longer than 50 yards with 8. The next closest, again, was 6. On deep passes, 20 or more yards down the line, down the field, Burrow had 14 touchdown passes, and that led the league. 17.5% of Burrow's deep passes went for touchdowns. This led the league, and the average was 9.6%. So living real good at deep stuff. 42% of his deep completions were converted into touchdowns. That is an astonishing number. The league average was just about a quarter. So that's a big, big difference there. Despite the high touchdown rate, only 6.3% of Burrow's attempts were actually thrown into the end zone, which ranks 16th most amongst quarterbacks. So it wasn't even like he was chucking them in from like 25 yards down the line of scrimmage. He was really, you know, getting kind of like long throws that were catching runs, basically. Overall, Burrow gave PFF gave Burrow 25.4 expected passing touchdowns in 2021. He had 34. Burrow had him as expected quarterback 18, and he outperformed that by 4 points per game to finish basically as a back half quarterback 1. Notably, the touchdown numbers are actually more, or the market's actually more bullish on him to go up to quarterback 7 in terms of the ADP. I think that's come down just a little bit since the surgery news has happened. So really living good there. There's some other stuff here. When you look at, when you look at some of the other, when you look at some of the other pressure rates and everything, he was sacked in the third highest percentage of his pressures behind only Baker Mayfield and Zach Wilson. So holding out of the ball a lot and under pressure, right, is not typically that good. Highest sack rates on plays with at least 2.5 seconds of time and a receiver with a positive route running grade. So I think of this as two ways. Right? This is a PFF stat. This is the free lunch stuff, right? This is your free lunch stuff. You get time to throw, and you have someone open. What do you do with it? Burrow takes a sack 14% of the time. He just takes a lot of sacks. And I don't know if it's slow processing. I don't know what the reason for it is. He will say that he just holds onto the ball on third down and trying to make stuff happen. This is like this stat goes to prove that that is total bullshit. That's not what he's doing. Zach Wilson, 15%. Davis Mills, 15%. Joe Burrow, 14%. Huge tier break. Right? So, you know, I'm not sure what the problem is or why he's doing it, if he's not reading stuff out or whatever it is. But there's some interesting stuff there that he just holds onto the ball too long. His offensive line struggled a bit, 29th in terms of PFF pass blocking grade last year. But again, he underperforms what his actual pressure rate is. So some interesting stuff there altogether. Would be, I guess, my big takeaway. He basically, again, he lived on good variance, right? He lived on good variance, and I think some of the stuff where he could regress, or where some of the stuff where he could improve, he hasn't quite done it yet. He's consistently been a guy that holds onto the ball and takes a higher percentage of his pressures as sacks. Right? He did that in college. He's done that in the NFL. That's what he does. One other thing I'd point to with the deep passing numbers is he led the league in touchdowns over 40 with 10, and that is on 592 dropbacks. In 2020, he had 0 touchdown passes over 40 yards on 453 dropbacks. When you look at the guys who have done it more than 10 times in a season, since 2012, only two guys have done it, Eli Manning and Drew Brees. That's Eli Manning's 2015 season and Drew Brees' 2013 season. Both guys in the season beforehand and the season afterwards, they're for 3. So it went 3-10-3. 3-10-3 for each of those guys. I look at that and it strikes me as a particularly risky place to go. It was particularly risky bet to make in terms of living on that high touchdown variance. When you look at some of the other stuff too, the early down passing rate, for example, he ranked Cincinnati ranked 13th overall in terms of early down passing rate. When you look at what their EPA per play was, for example, as well, they were 10th in terms of that on early downs in those neutral situations. One other thing as well, if you were to say, hey, listen, if he's just not going to throw longer touchdown passes, he'll just extend drives, he'll actually get more red zone work. I've actually thought about that as an idea. I kind of question it a little bit. And the reason why I question it is when you look at his actual expected points added per play, he ranks 7th in the league, which is like, okay, that's good. That's amongst the elites of the position. It's Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, Garoppolo, notably, Stafford, Herbert, and then Burrow. He's actually ahead of Josh Allen, right? So when you start looking at these, Bridgewater and Cousins in the next, Prescott's actually 11th. When you look at actually success rate, right? So when you go back to success rate and look at what his actual success rate is, again, that's a metric, he falls down to 12th. So what does that mean at 49.3? What does that mean? He's the beneficiary of high variance, right? He looks more like at the top third of the position than he necessarily does in the top 6 of the position. Right. I think that there's a difference there, and I think you got to be cautious. Again, this is one of the reasons why I'm skeptical of him at his cost. I think it's super expensive and there's not a ton of payoff. 34 expected touchdowns, 34 touchdowns, 25.4 expected touchdowns, 46-11 in terms of passing yards last year, 37-23 was his actual expectation. So massively over expectation on both fronts. I think a lot of that was high variance stuff that went on. P. Ryan landed on PUP with an undisclosed injury. He is back and ready to go now. So I'm not reading a ton into that, but I just think it is a word of note there. Mixon was actually at expected for running back 10 last year. He was at 6 points per. He was at sixth in terms of actual points per game, so he overproduced it. One thing that I'll controversially say is I'm not sure that it's a done deal that Ja'Marr Chase is actually better than T. Higgins. So when you actually look, at some of their stats last year, T. Higgins actually targeted on a higher percentage of the routes at 22.4 than Ja'Marr Chase was at 21.2. He had a higher expectation in terms of yards per route run as well. And Ja'Marr Chase did overperform in terms of yards per actual route run. Again, I think a lot of that was there was some good puck luck going on. Again, 2.49 points per target. That's just incredible and almost certain not to repeat. So that's the big stuff there. Again, when you look in, Higgins actually only played 14 games last year. He had more targets per game, actually, than Ja'Marr Chase did. Higgins at 7.7 targets per game, Chase at 7.25. So when you look, Higgins was expected at wide receiver 20 in points per game, and he scored wide receiver 13 in actual points per game. Ja'Marr Chase was expected for wide receiver 22 in points per game and scored wide receiver 5. So big difference there between those two guys and how they performed against expectation. All right, so let's look here at where we stand with their cost coming into the season here. I think it's interesting, again, the difference between Higgins and Chase. Higgins is at wide receiver 10 in terms of positional rank over at Underdog. 24 is his overall rank. You look at Chase, he's actually 3 in terms of wide receiver rank, 5 overall. So white hot there for the position. Burrow's at 7. Again, that's high, right? That's very high in terms of where his actual performance was last year. His basically luck independent performance is what I would call it. Mixon, running back 7 as well. And then Hayden Hurst down at tight end 23. Chris Evans, 61. Samaje Perine, 79. When you look over at the quarterback position, Joe Burrow ranks 4th in terms of dynasty, in terms of median draft position. And at 106, he's the 4th highest median, so basically the 4th guy off the board in startup drafts. When you compare Mixon, he is running back 8.5. And again, so that's pretty close to what his value is in terms of his underdog value there. Chase is at wide receiver 1, is actually just ahead of Justin Jefferson. I wouldn't do that. I would have Justin Jefferson there. I think Justin Jefferson is a tier of his own at wide receiver 1. And then Higgins is at wide receiver 8. Again, he's high. Here's the thing that I would say, though. Like, I don't think it's an unreal. If you believe in Joe Burrow, right, and you are a big believer in this offense, I think that maybe not necessarily paying top of the market price for Joe Burrow or top of the market price for Ja'Marr Chase, those things might not be the right answer. What I think is maybe a better answer is Higgins, is Hayden Hurst, right? I mean, Tyler Boyd is down at 51 in terms of positional rank over at Underdog. When you look at him, is 62 in terms of real draft position, right? If something were to happen in the passing game, right? If there was an injury to Chase, if there's an injury to Higgins, right? There's a big potential beneficiary there in Tyler Boyd. So those would just be some things that I would think about. I would express some caution because I think that Burrow and Chase specifically are overjuiced by the market because of what they did touchdown last year. Again, it's just 8.1 expected touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase, 13. Higgins actually underperformed expectations. So Higgins is like the one guy in this thing where you're like, wait a second, he's actually not totally overblown in terms of valuation. So so that would sort of be the thing. And again, if he got a little bit of luck, right, like, I think that this thing could totally shift. So yeah, so those are just some thoughts that I have. Again, when we see these situations and when we look at some of the stuff that happens there with him, I think it's good to try and point them out and see maybe if we can't leverage or arbitrage them. You know, can you? What's the gap between Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins? Is it a 2023 first? Is it more than that? Like, I'd be really interested to sort of explore that space because I think you could arbitrage those two guys and you're making largely the same bet. So, all right, well, that'll do it here for this edition of the Cincinnati Bengals. And we hope Joe Burrow gets well. And I'd like to see this young offense be fun. Like, this could be, they're a fun part of the AFC. So it'll be good to see them at full health. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.